else, you go to a hospital and you go sit in the waiting room, I guarantee you, you'll be sitting there a long time. Amen. The squeaky wheel gets the oil. You got to get up out of the seat and tell them, I need a little help right over here. Amen. And I found that that worked. I remember I had a kidney stone problem. At least that's what I thought it was. And I ran into the hospital, drove myself there about 3 in the morning. Yeah, it was a nice, calm drive. You know, I was stopping and noticing all the flowers and everything. You know, I'll get there when I get there. Let's just enjoy the ride. Yeah, you don't believe that, do you? A red light didn't mean anything to me. I had somewhere to go. And I got up in that hospital room, and they said, well, let's get you to fill out some paperwork. I said, that's not how this is going to happen. You're going to help me first, and then I'll stay here all you want and fill out whatever you want. But I need some help up in here. Amen. And that's the way it is in church. You need something from the Lord. You don't need to just sit back and let God do what he needs to do. You need to say, hey, I need some help. Like the lady with issue of blood, she pushed her way through the crowd, and she went ahead and grabbed the hold of Jesus. She said, I know you didn't plan on helping me because you're walking the other way, but I need you this morning. I'm going to reach out and grab you. I wish there'd be somebody like her this morning that would reach out and grab the Lord and say, right here. Amen. That's not the way it's going to work this morning. I'm not going to wait till you get done. I don't know if you're going to go the way I need you to go. So I'm going to go ahead and seek the Lord while he may be found. Amen. I want to greet you on behalf of Lifeline Sanctuary. As your pastor made mention earlier, they are in service this morning. And even while I was here in prayer, I was texting a visitor trying to help them get directions to our church. Amen. And so I still want to plug away and try to grow that congregation, even though I'm a few hours away. And this morning, our kids are singing a special kids choir selection this morning at our church. And so I have my wife videotape it so when I get home, I can watch it. Amen. And so God's doing great things in Bryan College Station. And I encourage you, if you have friends or relatives or family that are not in church in that area, please give them a call. Or give me their information. I'd love to follow up with them and teach them a Bible study and get them into the church. Amen. Well, this morning I thought I would start with some music and play a song for you. Amen. This song is Jesus, Oh What a Wonderful Child. Y'all worship with me today. Whenever you're ready, brother, I'm ready. Track number 6, I believe.
Glory, glory, glory to you.
Amen. Go ahead and run to track number 9 if you would. Amen. 'Tis the season, and I'm thankful for this Christmas season, and I'm proud of Athens for standing up for it. Amen. And I'm with you. Amen. Let it come down to it. You call me, I'll bring my church. Amen. I believe it. We need to take a stand for Christ. Amen. I'm with you. Could I get some more on the platform up here? A little on that monitor. I appreciate it. Yeah, the presence of the Lord is here. The presence of the Lord is here. I feel Him in this atmosphere. Anybody feel Him this morning? The presence of the Lord is here. I'm glad to know the presence of the Lord is here. The power of the Lord is here. Yeah, the power of our Lord is here. I can feel Him in this atmosphere. Yeah, the power of the Lord is here. I'm glad to know the power of the Lord is here. Help me worship the Lord here this morning just for a minute.
Thank you. He'll come and enter in and cast your cares on him. He'll open up a window and pull you out of your sin. The Lord steps in. He brings everything you need, your healing and power and victory. Well, it's all up to you. Whatever you need him to do, just trust him and believe it. In my faith, you will receive. I can feel the presence of the Lord, and I'm going to get my blessing right now. I can feel the presence of the Lord. Come on, somebody lift up his name right now.
Let that continue to flow in this place this morning. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for what we feel in this place today. Amen. We don't ever need to take the Spirit of the Lord for granted. Amen. And what we feel. Would you stand with me this morning? It's an honor to preach to you the Word of the Lord today. Give honor to your pastor, Brother Grissom, and his wife, this great church. And amen. I was mentioning to a friend of mine that I was here, and he said, Brother Chad Roberts said to give my regards to your pastor because he had taught him in Bible school. And amen. So I understand he is quite the teacher and missionary, and it's a pleasure to be in service with you. And amen. To be here in the house of the Lord. And I enjoy what I feel in this place. And I'm thankful that the Lord is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Amen. You can travel as far north as you want to go, as far south, east, or west. And if there's somebody there that's willing to worship God, you can feel His presence anywhere you are. And I'm thankful for that today. What an honor and a privilege. Amen. If you'll turn in your Bibles to Micah chapter 5 and verse number 2. Amen. I would like to mention again, I do have some CDs for sale. I imagine most of you that have wanted one have already purchased one. But by chance, you weren't here last night, and you're not aware that we do have some CDs available. Amen. On the saxophone, there's some Christmas albums I brought with me. I'd love to help you take that with you. Amen. Micah chapter 5 and verse number 2. Amen. It says, But thou, Bethlehem Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me, that is to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been from of old, from everlasting. Amen. And then Matthew chapter 2 and verse number 1. Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem. Amen. Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem. Amen. I want to preach to you for a little bit this morning. We'll probably be out by noon if you can help me preach. Amen. A starting over kind of place. Bethlehem, a starting over kind of place. Amen. Would you pray right now that God's Word would take root into our hearts? Let's pray together. Thank you, Lord, for this opportunity to know you, God. Thank you, Lord, for your strength and your wisdom. Have your way this morning in this service. Touch every guest, the heart of the believers, Lord. Move in a mighty way, God, in this place. We're trusting and believing you, Jesus. Thank you for your Word today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You can be seated. Geography and navigation are perhaps two of the oldest aspects of discovery of man. It was through the ability to know geography and navigation that Columbus would come from Spain to the Americas in the 1400s. And it's the same understanding of navigation that Lewis and Clark discovered the western slopes of the Rockies in the early formation of our nation. Somewhere in the heart of men, they have always determined their course of travel by the lay of the land and even the watching of the stars. Long before the days of maps and GPS systems, man understood that by the conditions of the weather, by the feel of the sea, by the moon and the stars, and by the activity of all of the animals, that we could structure a course that would find our way through time. The same case is true with the navigational system of the soul. It is there, deep within the heart of man, that an understanding of geography is imperative. One might deny that there is a tendency towards sin. Often in the sunlight of the soul, the cliffs with their lazy growth of ivy, the smattering of the flowers and the humming of nature, that the delinquency of the heart goes undetected. And that is why there must be a spiritual transformation within every heart and life of a believer. That transformation must extend into our lives until devotion no longer has to compete with lesser activities. The highs and lows of life all mark the progress of the soul. You see, there's always a spectrum of victory and of defeat, such as illustrated best with the prophet Elijah. One day, you see him calling fire from heaven on a waterlogged sacrifice. And then another day, you find him sitting by the juniper tree, a little despondent about what's going on. But I want to talk to you this morning about Bethlehem. It's a starting over kind of a place. Every great person is forced into a beginning if his life is to ever to amount to anything. Amen. There is a time of birth, and birth is an exciting time in everyone's life. Amen. It has a tendency to draw family close together, and relatives will travel from a long ways if they hear that there's about to be a birth in the family. Amen. It has power. I know that my family, it probably hasn't visited me very much in the last 30 or 20 years, but when I got those two children, all of a sudden now they figured out that planes travel to Bryan College Station. And they've come to visit their grandbabies. It's amazing how that works. I don't have to drive 13 hours to see them anymore. I can just say, hey, somebody wants to talk to you. And put that phone up there, and all of a sudden now they're wanting to come visit. Especially when I tell them to say, Grandma, when you coming to see me? You know, it works like that. And but the birth of a child, it's a very precarious position, because due to Eve's sin, birth is not an enjoyable process. It's 9 months of sacrifice. It's 9 months of carrying an extra load. It's 9 months of gaining weight and 9 months of your back going through a lot of pressure. And then to mention the birthing process, I know very few that have had a child within 10 minutes. Usually it's a time of labor. There's a reason why they use the word labor. It's laborious. It's long. It's hard. It's grievous. And thank the Lord for epidurals and the opportunity to get a little of that pain released. And I feel sorry for those that got there too late and couldn't get one. Amen. God forbid that would ever happen. But birth, even though as exciting as it is, it comes through struggle. It comes through times of pressure. It comes through a time of pushing, if you will, an effort. Amen. It doesn't just happen. You don't just wake up one day unless you adopt like I did. Amen. That's quite interesting. One day I was just a husband, and then the next day I was a parent. Just like that, I didn't have the 9 months that everyone else has. I had about 2 weeks to get ready for a child when we adopted our daughter. And then for my son, I got a call on Thursday that they were wanting us to adopt a baby boy. And Sunday, we were driving to Tupelo, and on Tuesday, we took him from the hospital. So in less than a week, I was a dad for the second time. Amen. I didn't have this long, drawn-out process, but I can guarantee you, now that he's three, I've suffered enough. I can guarantee you that. I made up for all that mess I didn't deal with before he was born. He's all boy, and he's all into everything he can get into. But the birth process, amen, and if you want souls to be born into the church, there's going to have to be somebody to put forth labor. There's going to have to be somebody willing, like we talked about this morning, to be a servant, to really get in there and push. Amen. Having children in the church is not an easy process. If it was, we'd have to expand every time we got a building full because people would be coming to be born into this thing. And I truly believe if they knew what was in this place this morning, they would be pushing themselves to get and feel what you and I have already felt here this morning. Amen. And when somebody is born and somebody receives the Holy Ghost, amen, you don't have to convince them they got the Holy Ghost. No more than you convince a mom that she gave birth. Amen. You don't have to convince her. She can hear the cry and she can know that a child has been born. Amen. And so I hear that even in the times of birth that sometimes people will wait and they will allow time to go before they even get involved in the process. I'm afraid too many people are waiting on someday. Amen. Someday is not even a day of the week. You got Monday and Tuesday, but I can't find someday in there. But somehow we've thrown in an extra day, an eighth day of the week called someday. Someday I'm going to do it. And in all actuality, there's no day called someday. Someday I'm going to pray. Someday I'll discipline myself to really teach a Bible study. Someday I'll begin saving and investing in the future, or I'll begin investing in my retirement. Someday I will forgive them. Someday I will forget about my past failures. Someday, someday, someday. But while they wait on someday, the most productive days of life are slowly slipping away from them. Would it scare you to know that I'm already beginning my retirement? Amen. I've already planned my retirement. But don't you pastor a home missions church? You better believe it. That's why I'm planning it now. Because I know too many that can't afford to retire. Amen. I know several in their 70s. That haven't had an opportunity to prepare and to plan. And I know it's easy to put back when you got stuff to put back. But if you don't have anything to put back, you can't put anything back. I understand that process. But my point being today is we got to understand that today is the best day of your life. Today is the best day of your life. Amen. It amazes me every year how we get through Halloween, and I hate Halloween time. I'm just speaking from my own opinion. I'm trying to raise a 5-year-old and a 3-year-old, and the last thing I want them to see in Walmart, besides all them bad magazines that hang out by the register, is all these goblins and ghosts and all that. Got my kids afraid to shop with me. But no sooner do they put all those things 50% off till they got Christmas decorations going up. Y'all see that? What happened to Thanksgiving? Last time I checked, Thanksgiving comes before Christmas. I think that's a problem with a lot of us. Amen. We want to rush past being thankful for what we've already got into the land of give me something else. Amen. But Thanksgiving comes before Christmas. Maybe the reason God's not giving good gifts into our life is because we're failing to be thankful for what He's already done. Amen. I want to take time out for Thanksgiving and say, thank you, Jesus. Amen. You say, well, I don't have a lot going for me this year. Last time I checked, you're still breathing. Last time I checked, most of you got both of your arms and you got both of your legs and you're sitting down. Some people would love to sit down. They're flat on their back and their back's out of position and they can't sit up in a chair. And you got a lot to be thankful for. Most of you got hair this morning. You got a reason to be thankful. Sometimes we just need to realize, quit waiting till Monday. Well, I'll be glad when Monday. I won't be glad because that means Sunday's over. Amen. I remember hearing a report of a lady, not in the church. She was a professional football player coach's wife. And she wasn't even the head coach's wife. She was like an offensive coach wife for the St. Louis Rams, I believe. And they're not even a good team. But they asked her, they said, you know, I've noticed you've been a few different places before you came to St. Louis. We want to ask you this question. Where's the favorite place you've ever lived? And she said, right here. Where I'm living now is my favorite place. And they said, you mean St. Louis is better than California? St. Louis is better than Ohio? St. Louis is better, and they listed, than Georgia, wherever she had lived before? And she said, no, I didn't say that. I said that where I'm living now is the best place I've ever lived. What she was getting at, what she was saying, I have found that whatever state I'm in, that's where I'm going to be content. Amen. Amen. We need to quit dreaming about tomorrow and dreaming about next year and waiting until next month. And I can't wait till 2012 gets here. That's what we were saying in 2010 about 2011. Amen. We need to get excited. Today is the day of salvation. Now is the accepted time. Amen. And Proverbs 10 and 4 says, he becometh poor that dealeth with a slack hand, but the hand of the diligent maketh rich. He that gathereth in summer is a wise son, but he that sleepeth in harvest is a son that causeth shame. Amen. Let me tell you, Brother Grisham, that even at my little home missions church, I realize that I now have an opportunity to win people to the kingdom of God. Amen. I have an opportunity to teach Bible studies. I have an opportunity to baptize people in the name of Jesus Christ. I have an opportunity to lay hands on the sick that they may recover. I have an opportunity to pray people through to the Holy Ghost. I have an opportunity to be a witness. Every restaurant I go into, every hotel that I put somebody up into, every time I go to a Walmart or to a Lowe's, amen, I've got an opportunity to change somebody's life for eternity's sake. How could we find any greater of an opportunity on this earth than to make a difference in somebody's life for eternity? But let's forget about them for a moment. Let's look at the opportunity you and I have to get our lives right with God. This morning, you and I sit in an apostolic church with the ability to feel the presence and the power of God. If you have need of anything in your life, you have an opportunity to lift your hands to heaven and say, God, I need you to touch me this morning. I need to be changed this morning, God. I want to feel your presence like I've never felt it before. Amen. If you're lethargic and you don't feel like you ought to be a witness, you got a right to lift your hands and say, God, help me to be a witness. Help me to re-enlist into the kingdom of God. Help me to give my effort again. Help me to be a praiser again. Help me to be a worshiper again. Help me to pray with people that need a touch from you. Bethlehem is a starting over kind of a place. A place of new beginnings. Amen. The geography of Bethlehem is interesting. It's located in the middle of the wilderness. The surrounding landscape, its sea level, the weather patterns designated it to be a place of little production. The mystery was that in the middle of this dry and desert land, that there would be wheat fields that flourished, and lush green vineyards that boasted of the finest figs, delicate olives, succulent grapes. The area around Bethlehem was not conducive to growth. It was located near the Dead Sea. But out of this desert land arose a place called Bethlehem, meaning the house of bread. Bethlehem found itself not only to be a fruitful place in the midst of the desert, but it was at its juncture some of the most significant things that would take place within its borders. We know from history that long before the time of Jesus Christ, David had tended the flocks in the outer laying areas of Bethlehem. Bethlehem, small and humble, was the hiding place that kings gave their birth. The man after God's own heart found his residence here in the place of Bethlehem. The man who was God found his birthplace here in Bethlehem. One of Herod's palaces was located in Bethlehem. Yet it is not the thrones that seem to awe us about this city. It is the beginning of the soul that seems to captivate us. The most impressive thing about Bethlehem in our lives is not the thrones or the royalty, but rather it's a small stable and a manger. The man, Christ Jesus, who gave birth to you and I, that our soul could have redemption in God through him. Can I tell you today that I like technology. I love an iPad, and I got one, and I love an iPhone, and I use it. Amen. But greater than all of the technologies of this world is the opportunity for your soul to connect with God. If you're not careful, you'll allow the enemy to get you so wrapped up with technology. For example, a little Facebook or internet or whatever it might be in your case. If you're not careful, you'll get so wrapped up with the temporal things that you forget about the eternal things. Can I tell you today, you need to quit worrying about all the gifts that you want to buy on the 25th and all the things that you want to get from people on the 25th. We need to remember that Christ gave his life so that you and I could have redemption through his name. Let's focus back on the spiritual aspects this morning. Let's focus back on the condition of our soul today. Bethlehem is a place to start over. It's a place of new beginnings. God does his best work on kings when they are in stables and not thrones. A Bethlehem is present in the scope of every man. It's a place where God enters life, whether or not we have a spot reserved for him or not. Too many times in our lives, Bethlehem has been crowded out with lesser guests. There was a heart full of lesser guests than the one who should have gained the most attention. When we leave church on a Sunday morning and our heart hasn't been changed toward God, we're basically telling him, Lord, I've got no room in the inn for you. When we leave on a Sunday night, when the power of God has moved and the Holy Ghost has swept across this place and we can find no worship within our souls, we're basically telling God, I've got no room for you. I'm preaching today to guests as well as saints. Amen. I've been guilty before of allowing church to come in and go out, and church is over and I'm overeating at the restaurant, and I think to myself, did I really give what I could have gave this morning in this church service? Amen. I've determined I don't want to leave this place until I have been like Mary and broke an alabaster box of worship. How dare I come into his presence and never lift a hand and never clap my hand, never say, God, would you help my life? Do I think I've got everything all in control, that I don't need the help of a God that rules the universe? I'll never have it under control to where I don't need his help. Let alone, why wouldn't I want his help? Why wouldn't I want his hand on my life? Why wouldn't I want his blessings on my family? Why wouldn't I want his protection? Why wouldn't I want my soul to be ready for eternity? Should the trumpet sound right now, I'm here to tell you this morning, Bethlehem is a place to start over. I'm not concerned what you did last year. I'm not worried about what you did yesterday. But today is a day of salvation. Today is an opportunity to get your heart right with the King of Kings. I wish somebody would clap your hands to the Lord and give him praise this morning. Hallelujah. But just as Bethlehem is a residence for kings, it's also a place that is bothered by mistakes. Although Israel's greatest king came out of the small little community, his greatest mistake, filled with lust, greed, would cause one to doubt Bethlehem's power. Bethlehem is an old place. It's like our favorite pair of shoes. It's like our favorite easy chair. We're accustomed and aware of the torn threads and the ripped liners and the general disrepair of usage. We know Bethlehem, Amen. We understand this place. Bethlehem is where we ponder decisions. Bethlehem's a place where we brood over failures, where we set priorities, where we evaluate dreams. It's there where we plan meals, we study for exams, we prepare for work. It's where we live day in and day out. But Bethlehem is bothered by mistakes, just as David. Consider some of the mistakes of God's greatest men. Noah's drunkenness, Abraham's doubt, Isaac's untruthfulness, Jacob's dishonesty, Joseph's pride, Moses' disobedience, Peter's denial. It goes on and on, but God's hands are never tied or bound by failure. God took conspiracy. God took deceit. God took frank immorality. And from the same birthplace, He brought a Savior. Not a single portion of our lives is beyond the work of redemption. You've got to understand this morning that there's no mistake greater than God's grace. There's no mistake greater than the forgiving power of a great and merciful God. You ask yourself, hey, can God save this one? Because look at all that He's done. And I'll always return to you the same thing. Yes, He can. I hope you still believe in the grace and power of God in this place today. There's no way, there's no place, there's no realm that you could travel to that God's hand could not reach you in. You say, well, what about blasphemy? That's the unforgivable sin. And I'm not your pastor today, but I can tell you my thoughts. The reason blasphemy is unforgivable is because you have reached a state in your mind where you don't believe that God's power can save you anymore. It doesn't mean God can't do it. God can do it. But you've removed yourself from the ability for God to do it. Amen. And that's why blasphemy is unforgivable. Same thing as suicide. God can forgive suicide. I believe that. The only problem is you're not there to ask for forgiveness. You can't repent before you commit it and say, forgive me for what I'm about to do. It doesn't work like that. A repented heart is one that turns away from it. So you can't repent and then sin. That means you didn't turn from it. Amen. And so a suicide cannot be repented of, no more than blasphemy. But if you came in this service today, that lets me know you haven't committed suicide. And it also lets me know you haven't blasphemed, because if you truly felt like God couldn't help you, you wouldn't go to church. So since you're here today, I want to encourage you to come to an altar and give God a chance to turn your life around. And I guarantee you, if you give God an opportunity, God will bring you to a place called Bethlehem, a starting over kind of place. I don't care if you're 1 year old. I don't care if you're 16 years old. I don't care if you're 40 or 50 or 80 or 90. As long as you can get to Bethlehem, God will give you a chance to start over. I wonder, is there anybody in this place that's been to a place called Bethlehem where God took your life and gave you a brand new start and said, I'm going to wipe all of the old things away. The old things are now made old, but the new have been created new. I wonder if there's anybody in this room that's had a chance to start over. If you'd stand on your feet and take a moment and thank God for allowing you to find a place called Bethlehem. Amen. Aren't you thankful for starting over? Aren't you thankful for God giving you a brand new start? Aren't you thankful for God cleansing you and making you whole and giving you a brand new chance at life? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for Bethlehem. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. 2 Corinthians 5 and 17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Amen. Musicians can come and help me out if they're here. Amen. 2 Corinthians goes on to say, and all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to Himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given us the ministry of reconciliation. To wit, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto Himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. As though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead. Be ye reconciled unto God. Be ye reconciled unto God. I've come to give you an opportunity to come to Bethlehem this morning. I've come to give you an opportunity to start over today. Maybe you need to start over in your passion to win souls for the Lord. Maybe you need to start over in your worship and your praise unto Him. Maybe you need to start over and just say, I just need a brand new start with you, God. Maybe you need to start over with your prayer life or your Bible reading. Maybe you need to start over in supporting the church by way of effort of being a servant and being a worker. Maybe you need to start over today by believing God can save your loved ones. You've written them off. You thought that they've went too far. And maybe you can start over and say, God, I believe there's no place too far. As long as they're still alive, there's hope and there's a chance. Amen. The wise men gathered before Herod and say, we have heard that there's one born King of the Jews, and we are going to worship Him. I don't read anywhere in the Scripture where Herod commanded them to go. They already chose in their heart to go. And this morning, I'm not going to make you come to an altar. You have to choose it in your life to come and worship Him. I pray that He finds room in your heart today. I pray that He finds room in your life to give you a brand new start. Amen. As they begin to sing, I invite you to Bethlehem. Where's that at, Brother Lawrence? I tell you, a great place to start is right here at these altars. A great place to start is getting out of your comfort zone and walking down to an altar and saying, Lord, would you forgive me? Would you take me to Bethlehem? Give me a new start, oh God. I invite you to come today. Every age is welcome at Bethlehem. Every age and experience level is welcome to come and have an opportunity to start afresh. God bless you.
It's a new season coming to me. It's a